Welcome to our Composites Launch podcast episodes of Composites 360 on Tour. We bring you the brightest minds, influencers, and most important subject matters to your attention. We are here to cover the most current dialogues, presentations, and events in order to bring you the most creative ideas with the mission of creating sustainable value. Now listen to our latest episode and leave us your comments. So, a wonderful good morning, dear LinkedIn community, Composites Launch members, Composites experts out there. We are launching today a new format, and that is the Composites Launch Expert Voices.
The hard work of Composites teams should be shouted from the rooftops. We're on a mission to give your solutions better visibility and reach, to make them more widely known in the market and gain the appreciation they deserve. To make lightweight construction and specialized technologies available to end users, as well as attract projects, customers, and talent, join our Composites Lounge community. The Composites Lounge community is open to entrepreneurs, C-levels, specialists, and managers who want to create a better world with their innovative composites and play a key role in the success of their company. So if you're a hidden champion who isn't sure how to best promote your work, join a supportive and innovative community, which is focused on making composites achievements visible to end users. The Composites Lounge community celebrates and promotes the best innovations, lightweight construction technologies, and sustainable solutions in the automotive, aviation, renewable energy, oil and gas industries, and many more. Get involved at compositeslounge.com.
What is the Composites Lounge Expert Voices? I'm taking some select experts out of the industry into my show. So these can be, experts that are professionals in companies, that can be independent experts like Matt Cariou we are having here today. You know, and the reason why I want to have the single expert voices to really dive deep into what's going in our trend topics, trend discussions, and with Matt Cariou, I have found really an expert where we can now really walk you over the composite industry in general. So this show is for people who want to know more about the composites markets. So this will be not technical, this will be not engineering, this will be really a market and a bird view, a big picture of the composites industry. So, Matt, thank you for being part of my show.
Thanks. Good morning and a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. So let me introduce you, Matt, in a nutshell. So the interesting part is Matt is a naval architect. So he knows really the ship, the boating industry as such. And he's also in composites engineer by training. So although we are talking the big picture in composites, Matt is very well aware of how composites are being made. And that's wonderful to have always an expert who knows the markets, but who knows also the technicalities and the realities in producing composites. So 20 years of experience in the composites field, that's quite a long and large experience, of course, and that includes not only the strategy part, which we will be talking today, but also actually the engineering part. And I know also Matt from leadership roles, which he has had in the past, and those included not only the engineering, but also the commercial and strategic part. So he's French by nationality, but is now right now in the beautiful territory of Spain, in the south of Spain. And he's very international minded, and we will walk through his different milestones as we go today. So just a few to mention, of course, Europe, United States, China, Mexico, India, Asia Pacific. So probably, Matt, you have visited as many countries as I did, or even more than I did, because I was not so extensively in the Asia Pacific regions, but all the others, also I've been there many times. So, and then finally, exposure markets, yeah, the new ones like the renewables, the marine industry, transport, and industrial markets. And this is interesting because, as you know, with Composites Launch, our three pillars are innovation, technology, and sustainability. And Matt is perfectly aware of these pillars, and we will dive into them also. So what can you expect today from our today's talk? Our today's topics is business strategy. Particularly for the growth in composites. Yeah, everyone, of course, in the industry wants to grow their business. So it will be handy for you guys to listen from an expert how that can take place. Then we got end of life, EOL abbreviated, of composites and the recyclability and circularity aspect of it. As we said before, circularity or sustainability is an important topic in our industry. And then finally, we will have a look at impact of recent events like the wars, the tariffs, the energy on the composite industry. And stay tuned on also our notion on this. Yes, so I will now have a look whether I see here our vertical trailer. Okay, there is one, but that's not the right one. So I will check it later on. And then I would say, yeah, Matt, let's then begin directly with our topics. And as the introduction being correct, is there anything that you want to add to your introduction before we...
Perfectly correct. Wide experience in the composite field, had the luxury to work in many countries and continents, and very happy here to participate and share a bit of my understanding with your community.
Absolutely. So, yes, let's go into it. Our first topic is business strategy. And my question to you would be, what are the levers for growth for a given composite materials company? So we are not talking about now the startups. Startups are a specific case. We are talking, say, about a company that is already active on the market, who has already a market fit. The products have been tested, validated. So let's dive into those companies first.
So first, they will have four levers that are quite clear. Yeah, GDP or CAGR as an indicator of overall growth will be the first one. Increasing market share. Yeah, this is the basic one every company is after, of your own actual end markets. New application, generating a new demand, new end markets. And the fourth one, material conversion. Yeah, which is a big lever which I think it's interesting for us to dive in.
If you look at these four levers, do you think these four levers can be conducted individually, or are they interlinked to each other? Can you elaborate on that a bit?
They will be interlinked at the end of the day, as a new application develops, it will become integrated into your market share. The CAGR, which is the base macroeconomics driven growth of your market, will be embedded in all of them. So at the end of the day, they are all interlinked. But to develop the proper strategy, we always try to differentiate them and to approach them for a slightly different angle.
So let me come back into the picture here. The practice. If you look at the composites industry, now we are in theory, of course, we are painting a picture of how you could go to the market and have the market fit available. But what is required to succeed with composites in the markets?
Well, if we look at the second level, yeah, market share, which is the one where most of the company will go after. Yeah, you want to improve your customer experience, your route to markets, try different strategy to lead through developing new leads, expand new territories. Also, you can go in organic growth, which are more radical, but not always fully transferable. So in practice, what is required to succeed is at least to have a minimum of metrics in place. Yeah? And I will probably cover three aspects of those metrics. Yeah? One is market intelligence. The other one will be the NPI, new product introduction processes. And then the road to market mapping. So if I look at market intelligence, well, obviously you want to have your pricing by submarkets. You want to develop a very clear global capacity mapping for your product. And so, for example, what's the volume of fibers being produced, core, the resin output globally? It's a key element you need to have. Benchmarking, competitive benchmarking of your product, normally centric to your target market. Demand projection models will be also a very critical aspect by some markets. And here, a good example will be one of the biggest composite demand market today is steel wind blades. There is projection out there for the next 15, 20 years of what will be installed where. But you need to convert that into what it means for your product. Are you converting a sales target into addressable volume that you can tag into, which allow you to convert that in more tangible KPIs? Yeah. In that market intelligence, you will have legislation, tax, freight. But one important aspect we learn is that most of the external available information is far too broad and not tailored enough for your own needs and your company, your product needs. So this needs to be done most likely internally with the right angle. Most of the internal information is available within the company, but not necessarily access. And that is a typical case of you bring an external consultant, which are actually spending time synthesizing your internal information and redeliver. And this can be done internally. If we look at NPI, new product introduction process, normally in composite, we are centric on the product. So services which are added to the product are commonly underestimated. And if you are being commoditized, which is the case of being a lot of composite products, well, you can differentiate through those avenues, yeah, packaging, payment terms, support you can offer. So you need to look at that new product and services pipeline in the wide sense, having it very structured, not necessarily complex, but structured with the right level of internal and external input. And the last one I mentioned was the route to market mapping, both upstream and downstream. You need to map where you are positioned, what your competitors are doing. Some of your competitors might be also some of your providers and vice versa, depending on the market. Having a proper view of this is one of those critical deliveries you have. Out of those information, then it's relatively easy to develop short and medium-term strategies to increase your market share, yeah, which is back to what we were discussing prior. The key is the intelligence that you developed and the quality of the data here.
All right. So, community, you are listening right now to Matt Kariou, and I'm hosting this session. This is a new format, the Composites Launch Expert Voices. We will do a short break right now. And in the meanwhile, please write in the comments from where are you tuning in today? What is your relationship to composites? Yeah, if you are in a value chain, tell us which part of the value chain are you in, or do you have just a general interest in composites and composites markets and composites industries? And then afterwards, we will continue with applications with Matt just after this trailer. Where corporates see innovation for progress, we see people exceeding limits bigger, faster, and farther. And where corporates see technology to process, we see people optimizing for better output and quality, not only in manufacturing, but also with the help of digital transformation. Where corporates see sustainability to decrease the use of resources, we see people to better the planet and ensuring a greener world. To this end, we bring you the brightest minds, influencers, subject matters to your screen.
By attending events as Jack Forum Italy, Jack Forum Central Europe Krakow, Jack Forum Dach in Dresden, and Jack World 2025 and 2026 in Paris. Join also the monthly Composites Lounge Engineering Talks. Ilkay Eskisolu, Composites 360 on tour with Composites Lounge weekly on LinkedIn, YouTube, and your preferred podcasts.
So I'm just seeing that with this new format, the new format is not yet in our trailer. So the trailer needs an update here again. So thanks for staying tuned, dear community. As I said, please write your questions and comments into the chat. We are live, and I like this LinkedIn live format because we are in interaction live here, and are happy, Matt and I'm happy to answer all your questions that you may having. So, Matt, as you have seen from the trailer, a lot of applications being shown there, and that is the fantastic part of our industry. That you know, rather than having just services, of course, R&D is very important, engineering is very important, but in the end, we have some tangible products, and these are solving problems in applications. So, the classical applications are clear, like in the aerospace industry, in the automotive industry. What about new applications? What is on the horizon? What do you see coming?
I mean, as we talked initially, yeah, the third lever for growth is new application. Composite is well known, and companies are always in the hand for the hypothetical new application that will generate a new boom. Yeah, it's, at the end of the day, most of the time we are after volume. So there's highly trend one, the drones, unmanned vehicle space, as you mentioned. Military is going back in front of the list right now. I've seen a very interesting one in the military, maybe not the one we first thought about. There is a very interesting case of metal detector new generation, where it's a full CNC composite heads where electronics is later integrated and sealed into the composite. Yeah? So it's a, you know, it needs to be lightweight, deployable, so it fits all the requirements, and the removal of metal again in that metal detector for mining applications is pretty clear. Then there is plenty coupled to the mega trends. Yeah. Energy, we know wind, we know solar, but there is tidal, wave, dime and lots, flywheel. They're all concepts that are in high demand of composites and provide an interesting alternative to energy storage without lithium. Yeah. So be able to store energy, which is a critical case at the moment, looking at what happened like in Spain recently. Yeah. the ecosystem around energy production also will be a big driver for composite. Yeah, we know wind, we know solar, but they will generate an ecosystem of subsea inspections, maintenance robots, and so on and so forth. Again, composite will play a big element here. Alternative energy source, there is a very interesting case of WASP, wind assisted ship propulsion. Yeah, so big ships are a big offender on some of those topics, and there is alternative methods where they can generate energy. There is different competing technology at the moment. Some use composites, like rotors and so on and so forth, which will be also a big driver in the future. Aging population is a mega trend with mobility, in-house lift, small electrical wheelchairs, again, lightweight, corrosion-free opportunity, implants, maybe not a lot of material in terms of volume, but very high contribution potentials. And a very interesting one to me was aquaculture and agriculture. And those also big trends to feed the world where composite can play a big part. One of the two major agricultural machine manufacturer made few GVs and acquisition in the composite field to substitute metal parts with composite, increasing output, lowering the compacting of soil in farms, so having a big impact there. So all those applications, new applications, could be impacting growth in the future. I can't hear you, Ilkay.
Yeah. So interesting applications that you are bringing up, in particularly the agriculture. I like that a lot, because these vehicles are really heavy. So there can be a lot of done, and there can be durable, less corrosion there. So we have a voice in our audience. Stefan is attending our live right now. He says, regarding the question of which sectors the participants come from, he says he works in the precast concrete industry in the development and as a supplier of spacers and system solutions. Their focus here is on composites as reinforcement steel replacement in combination with their spacers. Is he talking about rebars, Matt? What do you think?
Well, rebars is one of them. It's structural more than a spacer, but there is also a lot of concrete casting, which allow concrete to generate a lot of diverse forms. There's actually different technology out there. There is even modular tooling, which are using membrane to change shapes of concrete casting, that goes into composite as well. Yeah? So for sure, composite can help here on the structural part, which was the rebars you mentioned, but also on the forming and spacing on those technologies, allowing a far more flexible approach than the traditional one.
Mm-hmm. How do you rate the construction industry in terms of composites? I'm not sure yet which way it will go. In Germany, for example, you need for construction materials, you need special homologations, approvals. Of course, it must not burn and things like that. Now, you've been throughout the world. Is the rest of the world more lax on these things, or how do you view it?
I mean, regulation is a challenge, more, as you rightly said, not necessarily in the fact that it's stringent. It's stringent for a reason, and product must comply. It's a challenge because of the diversity of the regulation across the world. Yeah? And Europe is a big example. You will think by now there will be an alignment of the regulation across Europe. it's still not the case. Time of adoption might be longer depending on the application, but there is plenty of composite making headways. Rebar is one. There is insulation product that coming from the composite field that are going in as well on certain application. It will find its way. There is additives coming from the composite going into concrete. So it's not necessarily all the time the fastest adoption, because the supply chain between the end user, the artisan working on the construction is very remote from what composite can talk to and offer. So the path of conversion is very long, but it's there, you know. And what Rebar did in a few years, Rebar has been out there for many, many years. At some point it clicks and then it goes relatively fast. Yeah. So my view is that the fourth lever I was talking about of material conversion is the biggest one for composite in the future. Is the biggest potential, construction being one field, there is many others.
So can we say that the new applications are directly impacting the growth, or how would you rate the impact?
So the new application we just covered before, they are seeds for the future. They normally are relatively slow to grow to a commercial pool requiring proper industrialization. Yeah. So this is always the touch and go for the composite field. Yes, there is a nice new application, but they will be at prototyping for many years, and it's a challenge. Yeah. All those are high risk, high reward. What meaning is that only few will convert to a significant volume. They can be very lucrative if they are matching very well your product characteristic and you manage to be a very narrow fit. It's also good to be the first in. Yeah. So when you are the first in, you can manage that application and stay in, adapt your product. But company needs to find the right fit into the balancing in terms of the contact you have, staying in contact, but not chasing all the application.
Interesting. So community, you see that we have here a nice chat with the community. So please keep on offering us your views on the things. Give us some impulses so that we can cover those also within our discussion. So, Matt, fully understood. Now, with this one final question on the applications, how can companies find new applications? How can they stay in contact with those new applications? Is there a source, or how would you recommend to stay ahead of the game with new applications?
I mean, awareness is key here. Yeah? It's very important to address through being inclined to support startups, university companies. Yeah? There is a whole network around universities of new seeds and students generating new ideas. Some of those will come to volume. So maintain that network, which in most of the time is actually providing materials, not necessarily funds, which is a nice way for, it's acceptable for companies to do that. It's relatively easy. Yeah? You can provide samples, guide them, listen to your route to markets. Yeah, your distributors, your people on the ground, they are the best one to, whoa, I've seen this, I hear that at that show. That person seems to know what's happening with that field. You need to maintain that network. But one ability of companies I see that are in decline and very critical for those applications, you need to maintain the ability to support around your product, around your material. In engineering design, in composite deployment, in industrialization. Yeah, when those new applications come, they need a composite envelope or a composite structure, but they don't necessarily know how to put it in place. They understand they need your product, but between your product and what they need, there is a lot of different steps, as I just mentioned. So it's the solution versus the product. Yeah. So it's very important to maintain access to that ecosystem, not necessarily internally, but having access to a small engineering firm, a couple of experts in composite deployment industrialization, and you create that network, it's a win-win. Yeah, they help to deploy your product and you help them to find a new business, yeah, for those small business. But that win-win network, partnership, connection also brings you then, when those people come along, a new application, well, guess what, you will be part of it. Yeah, so that ecosystem, that network, by helping each other, is the best way to stay in with those new applications. You're on mute, sorry.
So materials are the basis of the of composites, yeah, be it textiles, be it concrete, be it like we had now, or be it wood, resins. Now let's talk about material conversion. How does the material conversion basically help in order to generate new applications? Do we innovate from inside out, or is there more innovation out there because there are many, many problems in the field and the composite company can, through material conversion, find new ways of combining these materials?
I mean, for me, it's the greatest level on all of available right now. Yeah, I mean, the new application, you will have a time frame, as we talked about, the lag is long, the change of success of the end application is to be proven. When you talk about material conversion of historical or traditional product, yeah, metal, concrete, as you just talk about, the demand is there. The demand is there for centuries almost. Yeah. So the aspect of increasing the composite addressable outside our direct market is and removing the different the direct competition focus is amazing. Yeah. Value proposition is very different. Sometimes you can be a direct drop-in. Yeah, we talk about rebars against metal, or a lot of application, they just drop in, change with all the benefit it brings. Yeah, there is a PET foam and PET skins that goes against wood panels, carbon fiber tube replacing metal spars, that was the agricultural example. So all those aspects aim not to substitute the full incumbent product, yeah, but to develop a suitable market boundaries where composite through water resistance, weight, insulation, we defend a segment, and but adding performance displace the incumbent. But intrinsically, most of the time, the incumbent has an issue. Yeah, wood quality around the world is dropping because of the cadence of demand, which generate for certain application a gap where composite can go in. Yeah, I talked about PET panels. There is protrusion of planks for decking. All those applications are very valid, The trigger is to identify a defect in the incumbent product. Yeah. So going back to your question.
I always forget this mute button. I need to remember with a label here. You're muting. I'm muting by the way myself, of course, because of other noises from the lightning and everything. Because we will also have a podcast session out of our expert voice here. On this occasion, welcome also our podcast guests who are listening to this in a few days. So when we're talking about growth and opportunities, how can companies then access these opportunities? What is your suggestion there?
I mean, how do you tackle that potential, especially on material conversion? Yeah, you need to go back to basics. Yeah, you understand the needs, the pain points, the alternative option based on the features you can offer with composite. Yeah. But one aspect which is very important to me is you need to be very clear and pragmatic with your approach. Yeah. Language selection is important. Composite appears complex, and us composite specialists, we lacked it. Yeah. We really like to say, look, if you put another layer, a few more grams, a different technical resin, we make it very complex from the outset. When we go after that material conversion, this is counterproductive. You need to standardize what you talk about. You need to make very easy for that industry that do not know you yet to say, okay, this fits for me, it works, I take it and I go. You need to understand the downstream and upstream where you can operate. It won't be the same that your core business. Yeah, you go into a different industry, fully established, where you can realize and how you can realize your added value will be different. So you need to map that out, understand where you go in or out into the supply chain. Research the local implemented players. Yeah, you need to find the players which is open-minded to help you to get in, but the partnership for speed is critical. You are not known, you have no brands, you are a newcomer. Yeah? So if you try to do that on your own, although the demand is there, it will take you ages. So you need to find the right partners and even build that wider ecosystems. Yeah, there might be an end of life already existing in that end markets with historical product, but you will need to match an alternative and so on and so forth. We might cover that a bit later. And one also important, be open to different business model and investment models. Yeah, again, those industries has been there for centuries. The value distribution and the way margins work might be different. Well, be open to facilitate your entry. Then do your homework and prioritize, because there's many opportunities you cannot go after all. So focus.
All right. So you mentioned end of life. And dear community, we will have now a short second break. The last one we are going into the last round is the end of life. Composites particularly are prone for circularity, but it's a very complex issue, and this is what I will discuss with Matt just after this break. How do we connect you with stories within the composites and sustainable materials industry? We are on the ground to find the facts. We examine big innovative ideas. We let diverse perspectives on technology and sustainability emerge and ignite conversations that matter most to bring you the composites and sustainable materials world. Stay informed, stay connected, stay inspired. From our online studios in Germany, covering events and corporates from France, Italy, UK, Central Europe, and many more European regions. Join us for creating sustainable value.
With Composites 360 on Tour, Composites Lounge Engineering Talks, and Composites Lounge End User Panels, hosted by Ilkay Özpizoğlu. weekly on LinkedIn, YouTube, and your preferred podcasts.
So again, welcome back, dear community. And as I said, please chat with us here interactively. Leave your comments and your questions down in the chat. Now we are coming to our next round, and that is the end of life, EOL. And Matt, let me ask you, why is composite recycling so much more complex than traditional materials?
Well, very good question. I mean, composite advantages is this massive adaptability. Yeah. And but guess what? His main disadvantage is also its massive adaptability. And multiple combination of product, multiple processes, distribution of the material in the same component can be diverse a lot. For example, all the wind blade there is out there, some have carbon fiber in them, some don't. The generation of core product that were used change over time, the proportion change over time, the density change over time. So the recycling is made so complex in the sense that there is multiple product inside. They are not necessarily always located the same way. And the traceability of what was used when is not established yet. Yeah, we've been discussing about passports for composite items. There is some existing in the aero business, but it's not widely used yet. So that notion of unstable feedstock, yeah, when you recycle a part, you will not get all the time the same composition, is a very tricky element for promoting recycling into our industry. So transparency and stability or standardization will be a key element to increase that or reduce that complexity.
Yeah. You've mentioned a pass, a materials pass for the aerospace. Can you explain us what this is about? Because I personally hear about it the first time. Is that already in use, or?
There is a very limited application that use it. There is some discussion in others, and the idea is to somehow map the content of a composite part. So does it have carbon in it? What is the proportion? And so on and so forth. So in certain application, it goes up till there, what kind of core, what kind of resins, and so on and so forth. The academics are also asking for a location in the parts, yeah, which we, it's easy to understand why. The problem is that then you have an IP design challenge where the manufacturer of the goods want to protect his IP, how it's built. So composition, I think we will get there. Location, a bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm. But how about
we manage that? Yeah, somehow regulation will manage that.
Yeah. So when it comes to regulation, of course, governments play a huge role. How do governments actually push now circularity? Do they have it on the radar? Are they going on with this? I mean, we had at Jack World 2025 this European Commissioner, Policy Commissioner on the stage, where she explained about the Clean Industrial Deal. Is that the way to go forward?
Yes and no, and I develop. So the industry need to navigate that recyclability, sustainability, circularity journey properly. Yeah, there is a very fine line between excitement and greenwashing. Yeah, where communication sometimes overlap and marketing gets a bit too far. Yeah. Time frame is critical and need to be associated clear enough. Yeah, I'm making that comment and I will put it back into context. So setting the cursor of speed at the right level in legislation is key. Yeah, there is a very valuable argument out there between decarbonization and disindustrialization, in certain regions. Some of the leaders of our industry have been vocal with that. What's happening is that we are part of the solution, mainly in renewables, which are a very critical element to have a wider mix of energy source and part of the decarbonization. So because of this, we are expected to go faster and stronger than other industries. And some governments are pushing more on that chemical industry, composite industry for that reason than other industries out there. Yeah? So regulation is very important. I think our industry is very willing, but regulation needs to adapt and establish a realistic time frame, because that secularity is a local regional exercise. Regulation needs to balance that so we can establish the economically valuable solution. And there is a give and take that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So governments still to work on, but industry should have their own motivation. This is what I take from what you're saying. Now, let's talk quickly about recycling itself. Now, there are many, many different technologies available. And as you are a composite expert yourself, let's dive into the technicalities of recycling technologies very fast before we go to our last one, the events that are reigning over us right now. So what kind of recycling technologies are coming up? Which ones are more promising than the other ones? Can you say that?
I mean, there is many out there, pyrolysis, solvolysis, mechanical recycling, all range of them are valid. But for me, a critical aspect is that there is critical parameters that will cap, control the outset. Yeah? The cost of freight is critical when we talk recycling. This will lead to a regional approach. There is no discussion around that. Otherwise, the cost added is unsustainable. The diversity of composite we just talked about, meaning not a one solution fit all, will work. Yeah. One aspect which is important is that composite going in so many industries, end of life classification should not be per market, but more by content or construction, or better say here, this construction method to look at the whole solution. And also an important aspect, it needs to be looked through a wider lens than only the composite industry. Yeah, main opportunity will come as a push or pull of stable feedstock from outside our market. Yeah. Today, composite use feedstock, recycled feedstock coming from other industry, like the food industry. It will happen the same way. So we need to concentrate on helping those companies, those startups, to bring a stable feedstock. And when we have a standardization of feedstock, we will find economically viable solution for them.
Okay, so dear community, as you see, there is a wide range of recycling technologies available, and Matt has introduced you to some of them. If you want to dive deeper, please feel free to contact Matt on these strategies on the business development side. Matt on this occasion is open to jobs related to business development and strategies, and you've seen that he's very, very competent in this. So on our final round now, Matt, now we have a very, how can I say that diplomatically, challenging situation in the world. We have on the one side supply chain disruptions caused by the COVID pandemic, but still going on to this day in some places. We have, due to the war, energy prices fluctuating a lot. Yeah. Due to the war that is happening in the east part of Europe. And attached to that are geopolitical problems, not only in the eastern limits of Europe, but also in the Near East, for example. We had now the other day even India and Pakistan going into a certain fight. So run us through all these events that are imposed over us that we don't want, but they are there. How do they, you know, impact the composites markets? Can you give us a glimpse on that?
Yeah, sure. Maybe if we break it down a bit, I mean, the supply chain disruption are changing pace. Yeah, I don't think there is more than before. I think they are changing. The topic is changing faster. Yeah. So again, we go back to what we say at the beginning. Yeah. How do you deal with that? Well, you need to have a minimum set of intelligence in place, which mean that, and what we mean at the beginning, yeah, all those tools in place, and when something is coming, you can have an intelligent reaction and a valid chain of process. Yeah. All those tools are valid. But indeed, very difficult right now to place a long-term procurement strategy. If we look at the energy field, yeah, again, composite normally are high energy intensive processes. So it's a very relevant question. It's also difficult because cost of energy is very regional. And there is a humongous disparity in the cost of energy across the world. So it's interconnected with availability, legislation. It's also why we've seen, especially in Europe, a high shift in composite to use renewable energies. Basically, because the business case makes sense, yeah, at the outset of the gas crisis. It also gives a sense of proximity and control. Yeah. It's something you can control. The basic initial cost is the major one in renewables, so that makes it more controllable. One aspect you need to watch is the readiness for the future option. Yeah? Some companies are testing their processes with hydrogens. There is a discussion around ammonia, which was initially more related to shipping, but will go in some of the AV energy as well. Energy recovery of your own waste is also a very valid one if you cannot recycle. So all those strategies will lead existing site to diversify, and new site will be positioned in an energy attractive location. On every continent, there is one, yeah, for different reasons. So it's not that everything goes in one direction, but the question will be formulated differently. And then on the geopolitical and what we've seen very lately, there is one very critical aspect. Political instability, or what we see out there lately, goes away much faster in time than the relocation of a chemical or composite assets. Yeah? So it's very difficult for company to move a glass plant, an extruder, a resin raw material generation. It takes 7, 8, 9, 10 years to do so. So you play on your formatting downstream processes. What does that mean? Is that you go on a hub model where you try to do your best AV assets where they are. But what you have on the downstream, being weaving of glass, being kitting on any format, pultrusion, a repackaging of formulated, you try to do that in a local hub, which you can, on a 2-3 years horizon, you can move if you need to in terms of regulation, but offer you a certain versatility to be able to react to economic political instability. Yeah, so you need to play on those two different levels to manage that question, yeah, and increase the level of readiness of the organization.
Increase the readiness of the organization. Very, very cool, cool saying. And this is so important because we see a lot of companies, they are in the day-to-day hectic. And as you've seen, dear community, we are taking the speed and the hectic today out and calmly and collectively talk about the strategies in composites. So, Matt, this was really an excellent overview. Very well prepared by you. And I said to Matt in the preparation of this LinkedIn Live that I've seldom this direct and competent preparation. Now we are coming to the close of our LinkedIn Live. I see that Nazri has been also watching us live here, among many others. Also, I greet YouTube, our YouTube community at this point. Many people there that I don't have on the radar right now, but maybe we can also get you guys into our community soon. So, Matt, my final question to you would be, if you would summarize this session in a nutshell for all those who have maybe now tuned in later, like Nazri, give us a summarize. And community, you know, this LinkedIn Live will also be available on Restream after we have finished this. But listen to the key points and the summary of Matt. And Matt, if you could also then give us your call to action and what should people do after they've watched this live?
Yeah, good. We have maybe 4 or 5 points. And the composite industry is relatively young. Yeah? There is a high level of innovation. We talk about different levers for growth. What is really important is to invest your effort and your resources wisely in between those levers. Yeah, market share of existing, new application, conversion of historical market, you need to split your resources the best way, with best suitable to your position. Personally, I have a preferred one, which I think is clear. There's a huge potential for conversion of historical markets, but let's see how you split that. Organization with well-efficient data sets. Here, I'm not talking about the quantity, but clarity of the data set. And a proactive decision-making capability will always adapt better. Sustainability is crucial. I think we are well placed to succeed, but we need to manage the time frame with transparency all the time, yeah? And think wider in terms of feedstock. And then on the political instability, you need to have those process in place. Inherent time frame are in general much longer than the political event, as we discuss. So it's more for an organization to navigate rather to react. So place yourself in a position where you reduce the impact of those different events. I think we will as a population generate more events. It's not going to become quieter anytime soon. So get the minimum preparation done. So when you open the newspaper or you drive to work and listen to the radio, well, you already have your back of your mind how to react and how will impact you and how to react. And thanks a lot, Ilkay. And as said, I'm available if you want to have a quick chat on any of the topics developed today. Feel free to reach out.
Yes, wonderful. So, Matt, let me agree with you absolutely. I think all these events that are reigning over us will be probably not stopping in the near future. Maybe they will be even increasing for some reason. It's a bit of a strange world right now. But anyway, we are here in the materials sector, and composites is a sustainable material. And as you know, guys and community, I am for sustainability and circularity, and therefore it is an honor to have experts like Matt here in our discussion who explain you the different technologies there, the circularity that is coming up. And it's very, very important that we keep this movement going, because one thing with composites is, Matt said this also, it's a niche market. Now compare this with metal, compare this with wood, compare this with concrete. We are scratching only the surface with composites, but with composites we could really turn the CO2 emissions really down to get a much more livable, more sustainable world in the future. And that's why this movement of composites launch is so important. Let me invite you to Composites Launch. First of all, we have a group that is called the Composites Launch LinkedIn group. It's on LinkedIn. You can search in the search bar the LinkedIn group Composites Launch, and there's a code word called composites, and with this access word you can straightly go into, without any checking, into the group. Yeah, we've just put this composites as a gate there in order to keep the bots out. But otherwise, we are absolutely interested in to have the most excellence and elite people in our network. So please join our network. We are exchanging within the group a lot of opportunities, be it jobs, be it new product development, be it events, innovation, technology, digitalization, what you have. Come into our LinkedIn group and let's network. Secondly, of course, we have the LinkedIn corporate page for Composites Launch here on LinkedIn. Please follow our site, because we are tech-taining you with our site. Tech-taining means we are giving you technical details on composites. But as you see, we have now extended this also for strategy and business development. But also we are doing this in a more entertaining way. Entertaining means that the human is in the center of our dealings. So you will not see just mere product placements and product advertising. You will see the voices of the market. You will see the experts, the professionals of the market. And we do this in a cozy environment, in a friendly environment, in a constructive environment. And we will, the only thing we want to be is a resource for you guys. So follow our page. We have different formats. Now, this is the latest format we are kicking off today with Matt. And that's the Composites Launch Expert Voices. If you are an expert in the field in composites and you have a story to tell, if you have certain facts that you would like to relate to our community, please reach out to me. I'm happy to give you a slot, and we have a cozy discussion and a nice discussion like we had here with Matt. It's earned media for you. Yeah, you don't pay for this. It's earned media for you. It's a community activity we are doing, and I would be thrilled to get you in front of our community. Then we have a second key format, that is the end user panels on exhibitions. That is powered by the Jack Group. You may have seen the Composites Launch in certain formats carries the Jack Group powered symbol. And what we do there is we go on subject exhibitions in our verticals, in our market sectors. Now, we've talked today about the construction industry. We've talked about the marine industry, the naval industry, the aerospace industry, the automotive. So we go on select subject exhibitions, and we hold a Composites Launch end user panel. So we are getting the full value chain there, and we offer you, if you are an event or an organizer, a show, company, you know, reach out to us, and we are happy to organize a panel on the most modern materials, sustainable materials. As I said, this is powered by Jack, so this is free for the subject exhibition. We will organize all this. Then we have the Composites Lounge Engineering Talks. And the Composites Lounge Engineering Talks is an online format, just like this Expert Voices. In the Composites Lounge Engineering Talks, we have a panel typically consisting of four or five experts from the value chain. So this could be raw material suppliers, component suppliers, textile producers, substrate producers, chemical industry for the resins, but also we like to have, of course, an end user in the panel as well who could also enlighten us on the requirements on composites. So that's our online format, Composites Lounge Engineering Talks. And if you have something in to say from an engineering part, then please feel free to reach out. Yeah, and then finally, we got the Composites 360 on tour. This is where my team and I are going on events, on shows, visit your company, and report, you know, from the front line. And if you have any news during Jack Forum Italy, which is coming up in a few days, or Jack Forum Central Europe in Krakow in September, Jack Forum Dach in Dresden in October, or Jack World 2026 next year, please reach out and let's talk how we can put your solutions, your news into the spotlight. Require this that you have to fit in one of these three pillars: innovation, technology, sustainability. Now, the good thing is composites typically fulfills all three. How genius is that, right? Okay, thank you so much. So, Matt, is there anything that we have not covered today that you would like to address to the audience?
No, thanks a lot. I think it was a great format, well-spent hour, and I hope it was useful to your community. Thank you.
Absolutely. So thank you, everyone, also for watching us, for your comments in the chat. Also, the podcast listeners, thank you for being a loyal podcast listener. Yeah, and then I will bring the outro, and I will see you soon again. The next stop will be on the 22nd, our LinkedIn Live with Anne Carroll from the Jack Group. She's the events director, and we will have Roberto Frassine from Asso Compositi, the Association of Composites in Italy, but he's also at the same time the president of the European Composites Industrial Association. So we will talk about Jack Forum Italy, and we have also Stefano Ratti, who is from FK Group, the product manager, because FK Group is supporting and sponsoring Jack Forum Italy, which will be taking place in June 11-12 at the Villa Erba. And Villa Erba is such a beautiful spot straight at the Lake Como, so don't miss out on that. Come to our LinkedIn Live 22nd May, and then come to Jack Forum Italy in June. Yeah, thank you so much, and see you later.
Where people see thought leaders bringing up the latest topics and trends, particularly in the composites industry and advanced materials, we are seeing people working on sustainability and our future. To this end, thank you for listening to our Composites Launch podcast episodes on Composites 360 on Tour. With expert and engineering talks, online live stream panels, and panels at subject exhibitions, we are here to serve you with the latest content that is available in this industry. Whether it is reporting from the market front, like the aerospace or automotive OEMs, whether these are regional events spread all over the Dach region, Europe, or elsewhere in the world, we are here to cover those dialogues, presentations, and events in order to bring you the most creative ideas with the mission of creating sustainable value. Creating sustainable value means that we are connecting also the world with our partners. We invite you to join our Composites Lounge, Composites 360 on Tour, on our digital channels. Be rest assured, Composites Lounge brings you the brightest, the best, and the fastest topics on LinkedIn, YouTube, and here on your favorite podcast on a weekly basis. Stay tuned.